Here we are with episode 2 of Couch Potatoes and Sports Tragics. I'm the Sportsologist. I'm here with Jordan again. Jordan.
Right. How are you, Sportsologist?
I'm very good. Look, we've had a look at the stats from our first episode and topped up the century, mate. We'll have to raise the bats.
Yeah, it's great. You know, my mum really came through there.
She did. She made a certain amount of phone calls, did she? And clicks.
Well, that's right. You know, we've been training the dog to you know, hit the right button. Yeah, it's all going well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, the NRL on the weekend. We'll quickly talk about that. Canberra Raiders. My God, with less than 5 minutes to go, they nearly lost the unlosable game.
I heard you got distracted. You thought it was all over and, turn your back for 10 minutes and look what happens.
I did that. And then, the game went into extra time and they end up winning it with a field goal with about 15 seconds to go. But, look, I followed the Raiders since 1982 when they came in. I think I did mention to you that I was there the day they won their very first game at Seaford Oval in 1982, which is I know I was saying it to Mark on the weekend, actually it was, and 42 years ago, nearly to the day.
You're right.
And it's been a roller coaster ride, and I know that my death certificate is going to say cause of death was from frustration and anxiety from following the Canberra Raiders.
Well, they've had some incredible names play for them over the time when you think about it. Dan Meninga,
Belcher, Ricky Stewart, Daly, Bradley Clyde, the Walters brothers. Look, yeah, that's a, but they're on a bit of a slide over the last, 94 was the last time they won. The only side that has not won a premiership in that time is Parramatta. Their last win was 86. Mm. This is for all the clubs that have been in there for a while. And so Parramatta are on, 38 years. The Raiders are on 30 years, exactly.
Yeah, the Raiders did get close, didn't they? They got a few years ago.
Oh, don't talk about that one. The 2019 against the Roosters again call.
I was hopeful that day. And but I think Parramatta's the one who takes out the runner-up, like the Collingwood of the AFL. Always the bridesmaid, wasn't they called?
Well, as I said, 1986 was the last time, and my good mate Ray Price was the captain, and he lifted the trophy up after the game. It was his last game, and Mick Cronin.
Big names.
Two big names. We'll actually get – Ray might be up here in about a month's time, so we might be able to sit down and do a little podcast with him.
Yeah, he's coming up just to see you, I think, is he?
He's coming up to maybe flog me in golf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not hard.
That's not hard, mate.
So, look, just off the air there, you were talking about the pace of the game. You've sort of got a bit of an AFL background, but you do watch a bit of NRL, and were saying about the pace of the game.
Look, Sydney bred, so, always had NRL around and that kind of thing. So, yeah, definitely keep an eye on it. And first of all, I think it's really interesting. Like, gone 20 years ago, had mates, it's either NRL or AFL or, line in the sand. But I actually find a lot of people quite interested in all the footy codes or any sport now, which I think is great. A lot of my mates, around the 50-odd, and so that's good. I really noticed over, say, the last 5 years or so, there's been a real pickup in NRL of the pace of the game. So when I was a little younger and watching it like that, it was okay. But, for example, it wasn't anywhere near as intense. For example, you could put today's game equivalent to a State of Origin of 10 years ago. Like, every game is at that sort of level and that pace. And you're mentioning about the six again might have been a reason for that, to keep that pace going and the game, going at the pace it is, which I quite enjoy. I don't know what you think.
Well, biggest thing I think is the interchange. And the interchange where they had six players, I think it was, or they've got six players on the interchange. Mm. Now, back in the old days, you could have the fast little guys at the back end of each half, the back end of the first half and back end of the game itself, would be able to sort of work out who were the tired big defenders. And when they brought the bench of six in, then that changed because they had fresh players on all the time.
Yeah.
So this six again that you're talking about is what it's doing is it's getting fatigue in the defensive team. Yeah. And that makes the game more exciting. Guys start dropping off tackles and there's more points scored and the game's faster. And you can see some guys just are really out on their feet, big time.
Yeah, and obviously with the NRL too, like carrying a lot more, bulk, with the muscle and everything compared to a more sort of athletic sport.
Well,
and so you are gonna run down, especially like your big forwards and that kind of thing. So
exactly,
you do see a lot of targeting, I think, going on. Let's see, keep hitting one up, hitting up, and hit that weak spot.
Well, pick on the little guy. They get the big guys running at the little guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they do. They pick out who's in the defensive line, and they'll line up a big guy against him. And yeah, big man usually wins most times in that. But you're talking about like AFL and soccer, as we call it in Australia. They're both very aerobic sports, and a lot of the people are sort of built like not so much like greyhounds, but thoroughbred racehorses. Mm. Where you're right, in rugby league and rugby union, they're bulked up, big bulky guys. So you've got that collision,
yeah, exactly,
that
right.
happens in the sport. So you need bulk behind it, and
exactly.
All that.
Well, it goes to the game, doesn't it? So obviously, NRL and rugby, you do need that bigger sort of build. However, when you start getting out to the wings and that, I guess it gets sort of more sort of AFL-ish, where you need to have sort of speed and agility as well as hit it up. And then obviously you get to say your soccer or whatever, which it really is all about agility. And you do need a little bit of strength, but it's more about your agility to work your way through.
It's your aerobic fitness and, your ball skills and speed.
Yeah, we won't go on about soccer and football. It is a very good sport. Sometimes I'm a bit confused with penalties and that, but that happens with every sport.
Yeah, absolutely. But, getting back to the pace of the game, I think from when it evolved, from when I was watching in the 60s and 70s, initially it was the four-tackle rule, and then they changed that to the six-tackle rule.
Four tackles.
It was four tackles from – well, what happened was, and something I did want to talk about was sort of unbeaten runs in sport.
Yeah.
The fourth tackle rule came in 67, I think it was, and that was on the back end of the great St. George side, which won every grand final from 1955 to 1965, I think it was.
So if you can't beat them, change the rules.
Yeah, they won 11 straight. They won 11 straight grand finals.
Yeah.
And
that'll do it.
That'll do it every time. So it must have been 56 to 66, so 11 straight. And that was unlimited tackle in those days.
Okay.
So if you held onto the ball, the other side never got it.
Yeah.
And St. George was so good at doing that, they won 11 straight. So the rule got changed to four tackles, and that lasts only a couple of years. And then they brought in the six-tackle rule.
I was going to say, that's from one extreme to the other, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it brought kicking back into the game. Kicking with the unlimited tackle rule was, well, why kick the ball away?
Yeah, that's right.
Just hold on to it. Don't make mistakes. And St. George, had a wonderful test pack of forwards, and they had Reg Gasnier out the back, and Johnny Raper was the lock. It was a great side. But, 11 straight grand finals, unprecedented.
Mm.
I think the only side in world sport that has matched, I think Bayern Munich has matched that. They've won 11 premierships in Germany, it must be, Bayern Munich.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And they've won 11 straight. And, I don't know whether that sequence has stopped or not.
Soccer, I'm assuming.
That is soccer, or footballers.
Football.
They call it around the world.
Yeah.
I did get into an argument online with someone when I called soccer. They said, it's not soccer, mate, it's football. I went, sorry, mate, but in Australia, we sort of got to call it soccer because there's so many other football codes played. If you say football, then they go, oh, okay, which one? Rugby league, rugby union, AFL, mate? So, it's we do call it soccer over here, and hence we call our national team the Socceroos. So, end of argument for that one.
Yeah, I think quickly, it has transitions. So you don't say football, say AFL, NRL, ARL, for example.
Abbreviated or just rugby,
But still, unless you are in a football or soccer diehard, you are still going soccer,
football,
aren't you?
It's
not
football,
sure.
It's
that in-between line, isn't it?
That's right, absolutely. But, back to the pace of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, State of Origin, and there's another, the reason that State of Origin came around was that in the interstate series between New South Wales and Queensland, New South Wales won from 1962 to 1981. And
the 20 years.
It was 20 years. And the reason for that was that all the Sydney clubs had poker machines. they had poker machine revenue. They were all rich.
Yeah.
So they bought all the best players from Queensland. So they all came down and played for Sydney clubs. And so they were ineligible to play for Queensland. So he had all the best players from Queensland, New South Wales playing in the Sydney comp.
And all the pokey money.
With all the pokey money. And then they would play all play for New South Wales, and all you had was club guys who were playing club football in Queensland coming trying to play for Queensland. So all the best of the best were playing in Sydney. So for 20 years, New South Wales
Queensland
dominated.
Were just getting smacked.
They were getting smashed. And that's how State of Origin came around. So they, I think it was 81, they played two games and they said, okay, the third one is going to be a State of Origin game. And that was when Artie Beetson first played for Queensland.
Yep.
He never played for Queensland in his life, but he was a diehard Queenslander from Redcliffe.
Mm.
And that's how State of Origin evolved, because of that winning sequence of New South Wales.
Yeah. Well, it's pure – the State of Origin NRL is probably the best State of Origin – not just in Australia, but when you think, oh well, you know, you have the states, you know, with the gridiron or whatever, you know, NFL in there and that kind of thing in United States. But when you compare the State of Origin of NRL compared to say AFL, so the NRL have really embraced it. They've said this is our epitome, this is our like our bee's knees and what we want to show the world and show everyone, you know, the best we have on offer. So you don't play club games and bad luck and you don't do this. The AFL's different. Every time they try and bring the thing up, I was gonna say this in a nice way, but miraculously all these injuries occur. And, I'm out, and this, that, and the other. So the best they've done is they can do an Australian team at the end, which goes and plays Ireland in some sort of hybrid team. So, look, hats off with the NRL. I think the State of Origin is just a fantastic, fantastic show.
Well, look, my partner hates football and she hates cricket, but when State of Origin is on, she's the first one sitting there and jumping up and down screaming.
And I don't know where you're listening from, but we are very close to the border here, aren't we? So you get some very interesting State of Origin moments down at the local, don't we?
Yes. We're only an hour away from the Queensland border. So. But look, if anyone's embraced it, Queensland have probably embraced it more initially than New South Wales because they were getting hammered for so long and then they started dominating. They've won a lot more State of Origins.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And, of course – When you play at Lane Park or Suncorp Stadium, whatever you like to call it, it is like a cauldron, and they're right on top of you. It's a fantastic place to watch football. And in the old days, they used to take the drive the New South Wales bus past the old Caxton pub, and they'd get abused from everyone who'd come outside and abuse them, and it was just deeply passionate.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. I don't know. To be honest, I think the coaching of Queensland in the last couple of years with Slater coming in, I'm going to put it out there. I reckon he outcoached them. I reckon he outcoached Fittler. I think, they're the underdogs every time, but I don't know what he was pulling out of his hat. And I'm not saying anything against Fittler because obviously he's a legend and he's done well, but I think he was outcoached. And for Queensland to pull it off like that was brilliant.
I think
that's someone with a blue shirt on.
I think if anything, there was a little bit of Fittler had a little bit too much loyalty with some players who weren't quite in form, and he said, "Oh, well, they've been there, done that," but they didn't all perform, and subsequently, New South Wales suffered and lost.
Yeah, okay. So, well, Slater could come in with a fairly clean slate, especially coming from Melbourne, etc.
Yeah.
Whereas Fittler, he was sort of surrounded by it, I guess. I hadn't looked at it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I think we might just wind up a little bit on this one. Don't know where the conversation will take us next time, but good to talk about a bit of NRL there and State of Origin, which is the greatest. Yeah. I think it's the greatest football in the world. Well, I mean, if the Americans don't embrace it, rugby league, I'm sure they should.
Well, it is footy season, mate. It's very hard not to talk about it.
True,
and,
it is.
I mean, the Las Vegas thing, I thought was, just quickly, I thought that was fairly successful. Mm. I mean, when you look at the numbers, and you know it is the US and all that kind of thing. I thought it was a success.
Well, we might talk about that a little bit later, but it is definitely something they have to have a crack at, because it's a huge market. You're talking 340 million Americans. You get 1% of that market, and that's. It's a lot of people.
And it did make the AFL boys start a week early.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
That's right. They usually start a week after that.
Yeah, they had opening round instead of round one. So there you go.
Oh, there you go. All right, Norris, nice to talk to you again. We'll work out what we're going to talk about next time in episode 3. Right. Till then.
Right, yeah. Rocking on. All right, talk to you soon.
Cheers.
See you, mate.